down in the tombs, this man, all by himself, howling at the moon, crying out, absolutely, utterly hopeless. A man that was to be in the image of God, a man that was to be able to embrace the Creator who loves him, a man who could have had a family, a mother, a father, maybe a wife and children. But he was devastated, and he lived among the tombs. Hi, this is Russ Dizdar with the organization Shatter the Darkness. We're getting ready today to talk to you. We just simply call this M5. This is a chapter that for many of us breaks our hearts to even read it and look at it when we understand the implications. Once we begin to study this portion of the scriptures, we see a revelation of a great clash of humanity, the demonic, and the divine. And I want you to take time today, if you can, just to open to the Word of God, chapter 5 in the Gospel of Mark. I want you to, you know, maybe even take a few moments to look at the notes that come with this podcast. I think it's a vital revelation that God has given us. For me, in my life, I have seen this kind of occurrence again and again and again in the deliverance sessions, the exorcisms that we have witnessed and been a part of over all these years. I've seen again and again where human beings have opened their lives, opened the doors to the dark side. I've seen the reality of the power of the dark side, the transmutation, the utter devastation, the ruins that come from the deception and the demonization. So I want to speak to you today about that demonization, but also about a great King of Heaven who has great compassion, but all the authority without strain. Jesus of Nazareth walks before a man that no one could help, no one could contain, no one wanted to deal with. This man was an outcast. And I want you to know that there are many people like this in society today. They're outcasts. No one knows how to deal with them. Well, let's take a look at it in Mark chapter 5, simply titled today, M5. And I want you to be able to take a look at this, because I know some of you who are going to get this. Some of you are Satanists, and others are the Luciferian, and maybe some of those inside created altars and the chosen ones, and those who are satanic warrior monks. Some of you that are going to feel the demons cringe as they begin to hear this, and they're going to try to keep you from even listening. But I want to urge you, and I believe by the providence of God, you have been given a divine appointment. Many of you have been given a divine appointment. For Christians, you have been given a divine appointment today to once again embrace the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Christ who is your King, your Savior, your Lord. For those who say that they are a part of the body of Christ, or maybe you're a Catholic or some kind of person of a denominational nature, but you are afraid of the demonic, you're afraid of that whole world and realm, you know what I want to tell you today? You better square it away whether or not you're born of the Spirit of God, and that you have the not only the salvation that comes from Jesus Christ and His presence, but the authority and power is intended for every true believer in Christ. So let me encourage you as you begin to study. And I'm just going to take the notes and begin to go over those notes. First thing we're going to take a look at in Mark chapter 1 is verse 1. Simply it says this: they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Now listen, this is very important because under point number one, verse one, Jesus knew where he was going and where you are. Now this is tremendous because Jesus came. He was sent by God the Father to seek and to save that which is lost. He knew why he was coming. He told the people, you know, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. In John 10, he said, no one takes my life. I lay it down in my own authority. Jesus knew where he was going. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew why he came into the world, to provide salvation, a healing, deliverance, a change of life, a change of destiny. And listen, my friend, he knows exactly where you are. He knows all the things that are going on in your life. I believe that Jesus purposely targeted this area. He knew where the human devastation was. He knew where the demonic was captivating a human soul, a life, and had transmuted it into almost nothing, had shredded it into the rags of humanity. Jesus knew where he was going, and he knows where you are. He knows right now where you are in your life. And I think that as you understand that, as Jesus Christ has got to you today through even this broadcast, I'm just simply an ambassador. It is God who is appealing through, and he is reaching out to you. And you've already been prayed for. We have prayed that this message, this podcast would get to you today. And we're trusting that God will reach out to you. And whatever the issues are in your life, I don't care if you're a heavy-duty underground Satanist, if you're a victim of satanic ritual abuse and you have altars that are demonized and committed to the dark side. I don't care if you say, hey man, I was raised a Catholic, and but I'm afraid of all this stuff. And well, you listen, God has a word for all of us today. He really does. Jesus Christ can show up at any situation, any place, anytime, anywhere, and handle it and exercise grace and exercise mercy and exercise power and exercise his authority. And so those of you who have the demons around you, yes, they may shudder, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for you right now that the Lord Jesus Christ will crush the work of the demonic and open your heart and open your eyes and bring you a transformation that can only come from him. Lord Jesus, may you save, may you deliver, may you heal lives that hear the word of God today. I pray that in the name of this mighty, compassionate King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, let's read it. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Now listen, a massive force has entered the area. Jesus' presence, his sheer presence, forced the exposure of the demonic presence in this man. Now listen, you may look at this and think, hey, Jesus got out of the boat, he targeted the man, he came, he knew where he was going after, you know, someone suffering, he's here to save, heal, and deliver. That's why Jesus came. And this man with the evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Now, whether this was an echo of the shred of the shreds of humanity that was left in this man, the sense that possibly maybe somebody was there to help him, it could be the other side though. The demonic spirit was so powerful in the man that this man was used to attacking other people coming by. That's why the villagers had chained him and left him out there, and that's why he was there. It might have been a place that nobody was to go by, that everybody knew they were to avoid, because the demon-possessed man, this man utterly crazed and seemingly insane and vicious, may attack and do things. Well, there's a great encounter. Here is Jesus Christ. Here is a ragged out human, completely transmuted by the demonic presence. And here is demonic presence, spirits. And we're not talking about just one or two. We're talking about, eventually we're going to see, the name Legion may mean that there were thousands upon thousands. I've never been in a deliverance session where there was only one spirit. There's always more than one. And they come to add more spirits and more spirits and more spirits and more spirits so that they can gain more and more control, more and more power. That's how it is when in an individual life. That's how it works in cities. The Old Testament city of Babylon, more demons and more demons and more temples devoted to demon gods, again, to take rule and reign. Well, the demonic was ruling and reigning this human being, and they came out to meet Jesus. And here comes this collision. Here comes this power encounter. Here comes this clash of kingdoms. And let me tell you something. This is no match. The King of Heaven, with all the compassion that he has, comes to reach out to humanity, and the demonic is standing in the way. Well, the demonic is going to be decimated. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. You can read about how he triumphed over the demonic realm, all the powers of darkness. He made a public spectacle of them, the Bible says, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus came with his authority. Now notice that before the cross he had authority, at the cross he had authority, and after the cross, of course, he holds all the authority. He says it in Matthew, the last chapter, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This authority he's given to believers in Christ. I mean, real believers, like those who may be listening, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. You need to memorize the verse when Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. We should all repent of fear. Those who are believers should all repent of fear and embrace the King that we know and accept and appropriate the authority that Jesus has given us so that we can step out and so that we can extend the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you to study clearly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Let me say it again. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And that's what he's doing here 2,000 years ago. And we see this same authority all over the world being expressed by true believers in Christ out on the field. Doesn't matter if it's India, South America, South Africa, or in the United States. Doesn't matter if it's a Satanist that comes, or a Hindu, or a New Age, or whatever. Whatever spirit they've opened up to that has come into their lives, that has transmuted them and tricked them and deceived them. Listen, when we take a look at this human right here, I don't know what doors he opened in his life. I do know one principle. The demons can never possess a man or a woman unless doorways have been opened, unless something we have done. You know, some of you have got into Ouija boards, you've got into tarot cards, you've listened to psychic readers, others have got into magic. You've got into things and you've opened the doors and you've allowed spirits to come in. Maybe your family line, maybe your father, mother, grandfather opened doors. Maybe there's Masonic background. I don't know what it may be, but the demons need a legal door. The Greek word topon, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 on down. You know, they need a foothold. They need a doorway. They need a legal right into your life. And maybe you should examine your life right now. Some of you Satanists that may listen to this, you know the legal rites, the blood rituals and the rituals you've done, the calling upon the very names of the demons that brought them. If you're willing to have them, they're going to come into your life. You better believe that. But once they come in, you, by yourself, will never be able to get them out. This man could not get them out. Nobody could help this man. Let me go on to verses 3 and 4. Now notice this, the reality of evil spirits and the ruin that comes from their reign. Listen, this man lived among the tombs. Verses 3 and 4. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Obviously, there was something beyond humanity here. There was was this a spiritual evolution? Is this what, you know, Dave Spangler and the New Agers and all the rest of us, you know, all the rest of them want? All the rest of us that have learned about the spiritual evolution that was promised in Genesis 3 when Satan offered a spiritual evolution that we could know and become like God. And that's been the lie from the very beginning. And 60 million New Agers have plunged themselves into this lie of an advanced spiritual being, of somehow becoming more spiritually attuned to the world and to the conscious, you know, ness of the world around us. That we been sold this bill of goods, like the Gnostics sold to the early church, the New Agers are selling to the church today and to the world today. They're screaming out about a new level of spirituality, about a spiritual evolution. Let me ask you something. You know, do you really know the voices that speak to you, the presence that comes to your life? Do you really know what you've gotten yourself into? Has any of the spiritual eclectic experiences that you've gotten yourself into, has any of it led you to the face, to the presence, to the embrace of a personal God who loves you and desires a personal relationship? I have not to this day met a New Ager, a pagan, a Wiccan, and clearly not a Satanist, who can ever say, any of them can ever say, that I know God face to face, I know God person to person, I know God in a personal relationship, and God is awesome. And they can't, listen, New Agers, you cannot talk about God. You can only talk about spiritual evolution, spiritual forces, spiritual experiences. You can only talk about, you know, meditation and astral projection and remote viewing. You can only talk about numerology and clairvoyance and telekinesis and so many other things. You can only talk about, even in the governmental realms, you know, you can only talk about, you know, this burning desire for, because this lie has been lodged, you have no spiritual Holy Spirit God perception to discern the deception that has been given to you. And so I plead it to you to hear about the reality that the spiritual nature outside of the kingdom of God is a presence of trillions of evil and unclean spirits. They have one nature. They have one goal. They have one purpose. And in this man right here, we find that the end goal of that. We find the same in the Judas principle, as his life is opened and Satan enters it, and we see the destruction. As you look over again, I just challenge you to open the Word of God and read it. Let it speak to you for what it really is. Don't try to interpret it according to New Age principles. Don't reduce Jesus to a rabbit's foot Jesus that you can put in your pocket. I have never met a New Ager yet today that talks about Jesus as a great king, as a friend, as God, as knowing him in a personal way, knowing his presence and power. You know why? Because the Jesus that this New Age spirituality has sold you is a Jesus that is not the pre-existent Christ of eternity. It's not the Christ of Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's not the Christ that the angels worshipped or the apostles, you know, engaged and spoke about. And I want to tell you right now, it's not the Christ that we find in this chapter. The demons do not care about the New Age version, the cosmic Christ consciousness, the ufology Jesus. They have no concern about that at all. The demons fear the real Christ, the living Christ, God in human flesh. 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah said, Emmanuel. You know, they're going to call him Emmanuel, God among us. The virgin shall be a child. Messiah shall come. So now we have Jesus Christ, you know, entering the region purposely, going after, you know, what he's all about, the redemption of man, because he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his monogenesis, the one and only unique Son of God. The book of Colossians says, in him all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Christ. The infinite now has come in human flesh, face to face. The Logos, the reason behind all of existence, has now become flesh. Read that in the Gospel of John again, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. This man needed more than a New Age. He needed more than a Wiccan spell. He needed more than just simply reading Alice Bailey's book or listening to Carlos Castaneda or any of the spiritual eclectic offerings that are out there today. In that day, they had Jewish sorcerers. They had all kinds of, you know, those folks that were into spirits in that day. Nobody could help him. Nobody could handle him. Listen, humanity was not meant for demonic presence to enter into our lives, to affect our brain, to affect our emotion, to affect our will. They were not meant to come in and take over our bodies. I cannot tell you how many times I got into a deliverance session and seen the demonic manifest completely and speak through the lips of a teenager, of a woman, of a man, to look at me through their eyeballs. It's almost as though they knew they didn't really fit in that physical form. They did. It wasn't a fit that was right, that was created by God. This was an abnormal thing. This was a splinter in the human soul. And yet when the demons are given room, and when they're given legal right, and when they're given the doorways, they will come in. Now, they don't announce who they are in the beginning. They're all going to announce that they're here to give you a spiritual, elevated, you know, they're going to give you powers and abilities, and they're going to advance you, and they're going to expand your consciousness. They're going to do a lot of different things to influence you. They're going to tap lightly. They're going to speak softly in the beginning. But as they get a hold of your life, as I've seen in every single case, the end goal is the same. It's a ruin that comes from their reign. Are they reigning in your life? Are you hearing their voices? Are you feeling their clinch of your soul? Obviously, they want to blind you. In the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, the revelation of the nature and agenda of the satanic kingdom and of the demonic realm is found in that verse. It simply says this: the god of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the icon, the image, the exact representation of the infinite, immeasurable, personal God in human flesh. So let me tell you something, New Agers. In the world that you're living in, yes, there is a spirituality. Yes, there is a spiritual experience. I also had some of those experiences before encountering Jesus Christ. It is obvious that this man had spiritual experiences because he had the reality of the demonic presence in his life. Demons that can communicate, demons that can come into your life, demons that can affect you, demons that can eventually totally take over your body, soul, and spirit, and leave but just shreds of your personality pushed back as they forcefully take over, since you give them rights. And once you give them rights, there is no human power that can subdue them. There is no psychological drugs that can cast them out. There is no incantation of the New Age that can rid you. It's not just negative energy. These are personal beings, powerful beings, far more powerful than unaided humanity. Well, let's take a look at verse 5, the transmutation of humanity dwelling in misery. Dwelling in misery. Man, it's a nest for the demons. Verse 5 simply says this: night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. Now, this to me is extremely painful, because I have seen this again and again and again in those so totally possessed. I have seen it in a young man going to Cleveland who wanted us to just be with him and talk to him and help him. He wanted to be a Satanist. He was boastful and declaring how much power and all the things that he was going to get. Yet he confessed in a notable sadness that he had no joy, no life. And when we shared Christ with him, he sat there in a panic. And when we asked him if he wanted to call on Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, as he looked up with a little bit of hope, that shred that was of control that was left, the demons took over and threw him to the ground, and he couldn't speak. No human could help him at that moment. No drug could free him from that grasp of demonic presence. But we began to pray and exercise the authority of Jesus Christ. We could feel the presence and power of Jesus, the living Christ, 2,000 years later, as we shared with this young man. As we spoke directly to the demons and commanded it to release him, to release his neck and to get out of him. And we commanded him to leave. And the demon left. And this young man then cried out in a loud voice, "Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior." And as he did that, the Spirit of God came, and this young man was transformed. Joy filled his heart, filled his face. The dark countenance left, and a great light and a great presence. The living Christ came in to cause a new birth and to give him something that would last forever. And this is what God brings in the real Christ, the Christ of Scripture, the Christ of eternity, the Christ of Isaiah chapter 6, the Christ of the angels that have stayed obedient to the living God. Even the demons know who Jesus is. Get this New Ager, get this Wiccan, get this pagan, get this Mr. Satanist. Even the demons know the presence of the real Christ. Every Satanist, every pagan, every Wiccan, every New Age, everyone that we've ever done a deliverance with, where the demons came forward because of the authority of Jesus and they manifested, every single time they realized and were in terror concerning the presence and authority of the King of Heaven, who's come with great compassion to release the captives, as Jesus said. Man, the Spirit of the Lord is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, you know, spoke of the fulfillment of what Isaiah said 700 years prior, how the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord would be upon him. To do what? Preach good news to the poor, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to release the prisoners. Listen, the day of favor is here, my friend, and God has come for you. And I cry out to you today to rid yourself of all the excuses and come to the living Christ. If you want power and grace and might and mercy, if you want eternity and immortality, it is found in Jesus Christ. In verse 5, we have the transmutation of humanity. This man, he is crying out day, night and day among the tombs and in the hills. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. Satan comes and the demons comes and alternative fake spirituality comes to transmute, to mutate the original, to transmute and control and blind humanity from the presence of the living God that loves them. This man was in misery. This man was dwelling in misery. And let me tell you something about misery and hurt and human woundedness. The demons love to nest in the pain. The demons love to nest in the torture. They love, listen, the demons did not want this man dead. This was their play toy. This was their dwelling place. This was their little hub. This is how the demons live in individuals and keep them alive. Keep them alive, but out of control and out of the way of Jesus Christ. They want to keep you from God. They want to keep you from Christ. They'll do everything to move you away from hearing the gospel. They'll do anything and everything to keep you from hearing this completely. You might have to replay it. You might have to put it down on CD. You might have got it from a friend. You might have already turned it off and now have come back to it. And I've prayed that you would. Because without Jesus Christ in your life, you are lost and separated from God. You are in the hands of the evil one, whose nature is perverse. Misery is the end goal of this alternative spirituality, this spiritual evolution promised by the dark side. That misery, that woundedness comes from the dark side, from the demons that have pushed others to rape and pillage and hurt and create the pain, to create programming and splitting and of human personality, to create the satanic chosen ones, to do the satanic ritual abuse, to create the torture, prolong it, to dissociate the human psyche. They are here to transmute humanity, to change. Look how they change this person. Look how they change this person. You may be somebody else that's night and day crying out among the tombs. You may be somebody who's literally crying out. Can I tell you a story just quickly? I was walking home one day from a place where I was working out, and my wife did not come to pick me up, and I began to walk home miles to get to my house, and I cut through a back street and was crossing over a walk bridge over a train tracks, and I saw in front of me a bunch of kids that were drinking and carousing and cussing and just being somewhat riotous and so forth. And as I approached them, you know, they made comments and said things, and a young girl that was cussing like a sailor was speaking some things, and I turned around and I began to speak to all of them, and I told them that God loved them, that Christ was real, and I shared. Some mocked and some, you know, said other things, and as I shared more and gave them some gospel tracts, I then began to move on and walk away. Soon, very soon, I heard footsteps behind me running, and I turned to see, and it was the young girl. She began to just break out in tears sitting there and get up, and she was crying all the way as she ran, and her makeup was running down her face, and she grabbed a hold of me and cried out. She says, "You don't realize, sir. Last night as I laid in my bed, I prayed to God. Somehow I prayed to God. I don't know God, but I prayed to God that He would send somebody into my life to get me out of this mess of drugs and alcohol and perversity. Obviously, God had sent me that day because Christ lives in me, and Christ knew where she was, and He knew where He wanted to go to get to her. Just like He knows how He wants to get to you. Just how He wanted to have you obtain this message today, because the message involves the living Christ, and His presence will envelop you and grasp you and call you. And God says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved, delivered, changed, healed, given the gift of immortality. This man was in human pain and misery, and nobody else could help him. Take a look at verse 6. You know, the end of verse 5 and the beginning of verse 6, that's why I say this is all satanic quicksand. The New Age movement is satanic quicksand. Among the Wiccans and pagans and Santeria, among the cults, the Moonies and others. You know, among all of the New Age and spiritual promises that are coming, even within military, even, you know, within groups that feel they're highly, you know, technological, whether the CIA, whether the NSA, it doesn't make any difference where you've come from, no matter how high intellectually you think you've reached. This is the promise at the end of that false spiritual evolution. There is no God of heaven, no peace, no forgiveness, no washing of your life, no transformation that gives you the gift of eternity. At the end of that false rainbow is an empty bowl of misery. It is satanic quicksand, and maybe you're standing in it right now. And I simply cry out to you right now, who can help you now? Who can help you now? Who can get you out of it now? Verse 6 says this, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He fell on his knees in front of him. Jesus Christ comes to help and to change our lives because He loved us. That's why He is coming to this world. That's why He has come and visited us. And that's why He did what He did on the cross to weld a power that would open the gates of heaven and invite all of humanity. Yes, you. Yes, you. Talk about spiritual evolution. This is about the gift of immortality. This is about gaining the wisdom and knowledge of God. This is about being able to be embraced by the personal presence of the living God and to be loved like all of us deeply desire. Francis Schaeffer, the old philosopher and theologian, he came up with a term called the mannishness of man. He defined it as that part of every single human being that seeks significance, value, that cries out, somehow, some way, I want to have significance and importance. I want to know who I am. This man was crying out night and day with no one to help him, no way out of it. He was hopeless. No way to get to the face of God. Yet God came to him just as God is coming to you now. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees. And I cry out to you right now. Just fall on your knees. Cry out to Jesus Christ. I did this over 30 years ago. I did this as somebody who was dabbling in the occult and dabbling into spirits and trying to be a Buddhist for some 4 years and into, you know, astral projection and all the different things that I was into. It didn't take me to the face of God. And then I found a clean power, a grace, a mercy, a love that I've never known when one man came and shared Jesus. It is as though Christ himself stood there appealing to me, embracing me and calling me, as he will do that with you today. He's in the Word of God. His presence is alive. The Word of God teaches that he's aggressively reaching out to the world, that he will not even visibly return till every single human has heard. That's prophesied in the Gospel of Mark, that the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, will be preached to all the world before he returns. Because why? God knows where he wants to go. He wants to reach every single, he knows where everybody is, and he's reaching out. Verses 6 and 7 together. The only one and the only way. Yes, that's true. The only one and the only way. You can hold on to, there's many ways. Tell me how they've led you to God. Tell me how they've delivered you. Tell me how this new age toleration of anything spiritually that moves is okay to grab a hold of. Tell me what it's done for your life. An 86-year-old man stood in an Arby's little restaurant. I walked by him and saw him looking at the yin and yang sign and had a big book that dealt with Hindu spirituality and New Age spirituality. And I stopped the man and I introduced myself. His name was Bill. And as we talked for a while, he was a searcher and a seeker. He was reading and studying everything he could all the days of his life. And as I stood there before Bill, I finally looked at this sad man, 86 years old, and I said, Bill, has any and all of the study that you've gotten yourself into and all the eclectic spirituality that you've looked into, has any of it led you to the face of God? Have you come to know the living personal God? And he smiled quickly, and his smile turned into a frown. Then his head leaned down, and I could tell his countenance changed, and he shook his head, and he said, no. And then I shared with him what I'm sharing with you today, that God loves you, that God knows where you are, that God comes for you, that God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. From the Greek word gnosko, that there'd be an experiential and personal and deep and intimate knowing of the living personal God. Listen, you know, step out, get a hold of the Word of God, read it, study it for yourself, see what Jesus says in the Gospel of John, study the book of Ephesians and see the desire of God. He wants you to be saved from sin, from deception, from satanic presence, from death and hell. And God has come to rescue and give you his life. Scripture says in the Old Testament, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. God will reason with you. He has wisdom. If you will take the time, if you will take the time and say, God, show me yourself, and open the Word of God, go to one of those people that you know that truly, really, honestly are a Christian, someone who knows the living Christ. If you've got spirits and dark presence in your life and now you're beginning to realize that they're turning on you because you've opened your mind and opened your heart to this message today and to the Word of God, and now you're realizing that you have gotten yourself into some thick satanic quicksand. Who can help you now? The satanic kingdom, listen, it knows more than most people do. It knows more than most. Verses 6 and 7 are going to tell us that not only does the demons know more than most people do, that there's only one way out. There's only one that can bring you out of it. Look at verse 6 and 7 in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice. Could you imagine this scene out in the marketplace? Here was a man that literally howled out, "What do you want with me?" Now, this is the demon speaking, not the human. This is the human being thrown down to the ground. I have seen this many times, as demons have thrust the human physical form down to the ground as it encounters the presence and power and authority of the God of heaven in Christ. As it recognizes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the authority of God has come on the face of the earth, look what happens now. The demon speaks. They know who he is. Listen, many of you don't know Jesus Christ, but the demons know that he is the Son of God, and they fear him. They not only know that he is the Son of God when he shows up, but they also know that J-Day is coming. They know that J-Day is coming. They know that Judgment Day for them and the deception and the destruction of the human race, they know all of the lying and deceiving and perversity. They know Semyaza, all the rest of those that Enoch lists concerning the watchers that came down. Genesis 6 that created Nephilim, Moloch and Baal and Nebo and all the rest, every one of them today, the power demons, the demons that you've acquired, the ancestral, quote, spirits, the demons that have mocked you, the demons that have imitated your family lineage and come to you and spoke, the demons that said they would give you abilities, the demons that gave you a feeling, a sense, a wave in your consciousness about drawing you out into the ether, to the astral plane, to lie to you about a spiritual evolution. I guarantee you've never been brought to the face of God if you've sought a alternative spiritual evolution that has been promoted by the realm of the demons. They will never lead you to God. When God shows up, they will fall. They will cry. When He causes their manifestation for them to be shown for what they really are, they will cry out like this one did here. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. Swear to God that you won't torture me. Verse 7, the demons crying out, swear to God that you won't torture me. See that right there? I believe that's a projection of what their kingdom is all about. Satanic rituals are all about. The more the torture, the more demonic power, the more the energy is raised, right? Isn't that right, traditional Satanist, Luciferian? Isn't that right, Mr. Aleister Crowley, who died pitifully, sickly, insane, and in poverty? He was standing in all of his magic in satanic quicksand, and who can help him? And he rejected the Christ of heaven and grasped a perverted view, a view that brings Jesus down into your own physical little hand, a Jesus that the demons would never be afraid of, a false gospel, a false Christ. The book of Galatians, Mr. New Ager, tells us something about that. I think that maybe Dave Spangler and many New Agers need to really take a look at what Galatians chapter 1 says about anybody who preaches a different Jesus than the Jesus of Isaiah, the Jesus of the Word of God, the Jesus of the elect angels, the Jesus of the apostles, the Christ of Scripture, the Christ of history. You better read Galatians chapter 1. And a great and horrific warning to those who preach a perverted, cultic, occult view. Rudolf Steiner did. Many of them did during the days of the Nazis, and that deception led to destruction. That satanic quicksand soon destroyed millions. The satanic kingdom knows more than most of us do. When they're encountered with the very presence of Jesus Christ, they tremble. I've seen it again and again, 100 times. So many times I've seen them fall and cry out. And this, what do you want? Do you want to torture me? Listen, this is what the demons do. This is what they think they deserve. This is the projection from their own beings. These are beings with mind, emotion, and will. These are real beings. They come as an angel of light. They come, you know, as a light level spirit, and they come, you know, wrapped, you know, transfigured, you know, faking their form before you only to deceive you and draw you in because they need the room. They need you to open up to them. They need you to give them a doorway. They need you to use that Ouija board, the tarot cards, to become a channeler. They need you to say those spells and do those bonding rituals. They need you to cry out to spirits for power. They need you to be angry and mad in life so that you can open the door for their presence. But when Christ encounters them, they cry out. They're worried about the J-Day. Judgment Day is coming for them. They know it's going to happen. Study it in the Scripture yourself. Listen, verses 9 through 13, a conversation with the dark side. Now we have a verbal. I've dealt with this so many times. The demons have spoke to us in those encounters, and they've engaged us. Legion now, this demon's going to tell us name. It's the head demon out of all the other demons that are there. That's usually how it happens. Sometimes they push up the lesser spirits to talk first, but we want to get to the head ruling spirit of all of them that are in there. For Jesus had said to him, come out. He was commanding them to exit. the authority of Christ was being exercised as Mr. Christian out there. Jesus gave you the authority in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And you're to exercise that authority. Read the context in chapter 10. You're to do it just like Jesus did. Don't use no stupid exorcism books. Don't just go reading to demons. They're not going to do anything. Like in the movie Emily Rose, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, they failed in their attempt because they did not do it the way Jesus, the King of Heaven and the King of Compassion, did it. Jesus comes and says, "Exit! Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Jesus caused the exposure, caused the manifestation of this presence, caused the demon to come and run and cry out the truth. This is the Son of the Most High God. This demon cried out in fear. They knew who he was. Jesus had said to him, "Exit! Get out! Ek! Get out! You evil spirit." And Jesus revealed the nature of that spirit. I don't know how this man opened the doors and what ancient things that were used, how he was raised, but somewhere along the way the doors were open, the spirits came in, but Jesus acknowledged they were not just kind New Age spirits, they were not just some friendly elementals, they were evil to the core, they're rotten to the core. And until you understand that, you will never know their nature, you will never know their end game. Verse 9, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" The answer comes, and yes, they speak. Obviously, they speak. New Agers know that. Many of those who are getting communications, even those who claim to be abducted or hearing the voices of, quote, aliens, spirits masquerading. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." Notice "my" and "we," the singular head ruling spirit, but the many that are there. They want more and more and more, like a beehive that has hundreds, maybe thousands of spirits gathered. But just the Lord Jesus Christ by himself has welds all the authority necessary, overwhelmingly, for all these many thousands of spirits dwelling in this man. Barely a shred of humanity left in him. Conversation with the dark side. Notice on verse 10, the demon begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Why? Because the area had become their territory, because it had become their presence, because somebody opened the door. Somebody did rituals, somebody opened the door. They wanted the area, they wanted the place, because they had rights. And they're begging and wanting Jesus not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside, the scripture says. Verse 12, the demons begged Jesus. Listen, when they're in possession of you, they're not begging you. You're begging to get free from them. I've seen people begging to get rid of the demons, crying out because now they realize that they're evil and that they're going to take them straight to hell. Like one demon cried out and confessed when I commanded this demon to tell the person what their end goal was. And the demon cried out to tank them to blankety blank. Of course, they use the cuss words. To take them to blankety blank hell. The demons here are just to feed, to massacre, to blaspheme and harm and hurt. The demons beg Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and this might be in the context that this was a Jewish area and that was not kosher, and they weren't supposed to be reading, you know, rearing pigs and raising them. According to the Old Testament law, there was a teaching concerning this issue, and there was a corruption. Well, anyway, Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out of that man. Listen, this is very important for you to know. And I've seen this again and again hundreds of times. When demons leave a human being, sometimes they shake. Sometimes they fall to the ground. Sometimes there's a screaming. The demons, like a splinter in the soul of humanity, unnatural, painful, abnormal, come out. The way that they can get out is the authority of Jesus Christ. And we would pray that God would do something supernatural in the listening of this. Maybe you have a spirit, and I pray by the authority of Jesus that He will affect that authority over your life and free you. And I command the demons to come out. Get out in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Get out, as Jesus knows where the person who needs to hear the message and needs to hear the prayer. Get out in the name of Jesus, I command you. Leave them forever. Well, the demons went into the pigs, and we understand by that demons can get into animals. Occultists know that. They've known that for a long time. Animals can be affected. They have a sense and an awareness of the spiritual realm. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake where they were drowned. Wow, what typology is this? When the demons reign, destruction follows. When the demons reigned in Nazi Germany, destruction followed. Have you ever read Bob Rosio's book, Hitler in the New Age? I encourage you to go to Amazon.com, look up the title, Hitler in the New Age by Bob Rosio. It's a phrase that he used that I have borrowed for all these years. Deception always leads to destruction. Demons always lead to human misery, transmutation of humanity, and ultimately destruction. Let me take you now to verses 14 through 17, and this is, listen, an amazing grace. An amazing grace. An amazing grace occurs. How sweet to some. Look at verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed, totally demonized by the legion of demons, plural. They saw the man. Now notice, this is the man they would have feared. This is the man they would have tried to subdue. This is the man that the town would have talked about and warned their kids about. This is the man that they would have all communicated about. Stay away from him. This is the man that lived alone as an outcast with the shreds of humanity left as demons reigned and ruled into his open heart and life. Now these individuals saw this same man sitting there dressed and in his right mind. No longer naked, no longer cutting himself, crying out, howling, no longer bloodletting, no longer releasing the pain. They came to Jesus. Listen, wherever Jesus is, if he's in your church, if he's in your area, if he's in your household, this living Christ has come to save, to exercise grace, mercy, love, compassion, and authority. He comes to save, heal, and deliver. If he is in a local church, whether a house church or a big 1,000-member church building, where the building's at, if Jesus is ruling and reigning, he is unleashing. Listen, where Jesus is, there is transformation. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound, at least to those who embrace it, to some. Because some in this story didn't like the loss of their illicit, illegal, immoral trade. When you get people that are in satanic underground covens set free in Christ, they're angry. The demons are angry. When you see people like in the book of Acts, the little girl that was being used in spiritual prostitution, she had a demon spirit, a python, the Greek word is. And when Paul was agitated, turned around and cast the demon, commanded the demon to leave her, the demon left, and she was free, and she could no longer do divination and predict the future and do things for the men that were using her for money, and the men became angry. The men became angry, and the demons probably controlling them helped create a riot. Not everybody's happy with amazing grace. Those who want hell, those who want evil, those who live in darkness. If you don't want God, you will not get God. If you don't want God now, you're not going to get him later. You will be toast in the end, my friend. You will never know what it is to be redeemed, to have the power of God coursing through your being. You will not know what it is to be born of the Spirit of God. You will not know what it is, the the presence of the Spirit of the Lord. You will not know what it is to embrace God, to know God personally. You will not know what the taste of the powers of the kingdom, the coming age, is all about. You will not know what it is to be glorified and made immortal, to rule and to reign. As we read in the story, verse 16, those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. The people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. To leave the region. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing? Those who live in darkness do not want Jesus around, and maybe you do not want Jesus around. Why are you repelled? Why is it that Jesus Christ repels you? Why is it that this one who came, who showed this great love, this great kindness, who healed, did all that he did, could it be that your nature is hostile to God? Study it in Romans chapter 8. Could it be that inside of you there is something else that has hooked you? Jesus Christ is the only one that can set you free from that. He's the only one that can release you, and he wants to do that because he loves you too. He died for you whether you ever accept him or not. He died as a substitution on the cross. His blood was shed for you whether you ever accept him or not. You may go to your grave, damned to hell, because of your rejection of the love of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. You perish, they perish, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus Christ was the only one to seem to love him, to have compassion, the one that freed him. Why wouldn't he want to go? Why wouldn't he want to go with the only one that would transform his life? He experienced the power of the King of Heaven. He was transformed. His humanity was brought back, and he was changed. And he wanted to go with the one that changed him. And that's what I want to do. Just follow Jesus. Well, Jesus, and he will realize, this man soon realized that Jesus would soon be inside of him, living in his, in the very, he would have Christ in him, the hope of glory, and that he would be able to, you know, walk with Jesus. This man now for 2,000 years has been in heaven. He is with Christ. This old raggedy, crying out, bloody, naked man living among the tombs as an outcast by himself is transformed 2,000 years ago by the living Christ, and has been in heaven ever since. And you know what? When I get there, I will meet him face to face. Verse 19, Jesus did not let him. Why? There was a reason. If Jesus doesn't let you go one direction, it's because he has another direction, a better direction. He's always wanting you to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For you to take the story of Jesus, for you to take the love, the compassion, the mercy, the grace, and the authority of Jesus to other places. Verse 19, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. This man's life, he was changed, radically changed. Verse 20, so the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Scream it from the housetops, young man. Scream it from the housetops, young man. Scream it from the housetops. What has Jesus Christ done for you? What has Jesus Christ done in delivering you and changing your life? Jesus Christ has come into the world. He knows where he's going. He comes to a man, he comes to you to transform your life, to change you forever, inside and out. This man is now so totally changed, he is being sent back to his own family as living proof, a transformation that will last forever. This man can go back and say to his family and to his friends, I met Jesus Christ. He is the King of Heaven. He can go back and say, the demons were in me. I remember Legion. I remember the demons. I remember my possession. I remember being naked and cutting myself and howling and crying. I remember mom and dad. I remember son and daughter. I remember, Oh my God of heaven. This satanic kingdom is real. And as we have been led by our own stupid choice into sin, to rebel against God and to do what the enemy said, we've also lost our position and lost our place. As humanity opens the door of their hearts to this lying, deceitful murderer, I beg you to come to Christ. Mr. New Ager, Mr. Wiccan, Mr. New Pagan, Mrs. Spiritual Seeker, please come to Jesus Christ. Give your heart to the God that loves you. He's there. The Bible says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on Him now. Repent of sin. Slam down the doorways. Burn that occultic literature. Throw it out of your house. When I got saved, I burned the Ouija. I burned it all. Nobody had to tell me. I knew a new power, a new kingdom, a new presence. God came into my life. There was a great change. I plead with you. Come to Christ. Turn from the dark side. Give your life to Jesus Christ, my friend. Give your life now. Don't die. Don't go to hell. Don't be taken to the end game of the enemy. You'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. You'll be amazed. Christians who are listening, get out there, witness to everybody. Let Jesus Christ take you. You know He wants to go to places. He wants to get to the man down there at the stop and go. He wants to get to the man at the gas station, to the place at work. Teenager, listen, He wants to get to your friends. Rock and roll, you know, those in rock and roll, those who know Jesus Christ, I plead with you to get to the rest of them. Get to the rest of them. Take Jesus Christ and the love of God to the rest of them. Please. Do it now. Do it now. Christians, do it now. The ancient servant. The ancient son. The age of grace is here, and the great grace of Jesus Christ is there upon you. I pray that if you have accepted Christ in your life, please email me. Go to www.shatterthedarkness.net. Let me send you some materials and help you. Let me encourage you in your walk with God. If you're a believer, you can go. Go to Preemption Broadcast and look at some of the things that will help you and cause you to grow. I want to encourage you today to be able to go to those websites and begin to learn and begin to grow. I want to encourage you right now to email me. You can email me by just simply going to the website and looking up the contact information. If you need to write a letter, you can do that. There are a number of things on our websites that you can go. You can get the Bible free. And obviously, if you've gotten this on the web, you've got the web page with all the notes and links to the scripture. And I want to simply say that I love you, my friend. That I feel the course of the Father's love flowing out to you. That He is this awesome King that was the substitute who died on the cross for your sins to change your life forever. Without Him, you have nothing. Without Him, you're lost forever. And I beg my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, let us all repent of all hypocrisy and sin and anything that disgraces this great King of heaven. Let us yield to the Spirit of God, the flame of heaven, so that Christ in all of His awesome character, radiance, and love can flow through our lives. Let us repent of fear. Let us repent of being enculturated by the world around us. Let us give our hearts to the King that we say we love. I encourage you to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Give him all that you got, my friends. Bless him. God bless you. And I hope to hear from you soon.